Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices. All in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a
Hosehead
production.
Jeffrey Dahmer soaked in blood. The Unabomber blowing up. Waco, Texas, and Heaven's Gates. Aliens modified men from apes. Hitler faked his death and then escaped. Bigfoot and the Mothman. Son of Sam talking to dogs again. Witches, ghosts, and goblins. Mysterious noise and hauntings. Dark arts in the skull and bones. Most celebrities are probably cloned. So if you're feeling all alone, crack a beer and get stoned. I welcome you to the podcast Strange Brew. We're here to entertain you. We're here to entertain you.
It's about to get strange.
Welcome everybody back to the show. You know me, I'm Tom Thompson, aka Tomcat, the Reptilian. And we have a very special guest. I want everyone to welcome Kaylor Betts to the show, an outspoken freedom fighter, advocate for mental health, life coach, and the host of Awake and Winning.
What's going on, brother? Good to be here. It's an honor that you want to have me on this strange podcast. Let's talk about some weird shit.
Yeah, that's kind of my plan. We're definitely going to try to cater to what you do because I want the fans to understand kind of what you do on your end of the world. So if you want to kind of explain what you do, pretty much because life coaching is like your job and then you have your podcast and you put that out there for free. You don't really do ads. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, like, so our brand, which we actually rebranded from what it was originally called, which was Mental Wealth, rebranded to Awake and Winning because I got in this game with a mission to strictly just help people upgrade their mental health without pharmaceuticals because that's been my journey. And, you know, we can get into as much of my journey as you want, but you know, it was outside of pharmaceuticals because when I was really struggling, when I was at rock bottom, when I was lost, hopeless, I was fat, weak, sick, tired, and broke. And just getting out of bed was one of the hardest tasks of the day. I actually wanted to go back to bed so I could just live in my dreams because I actually preferred that over and prioritized that over my actual conditional reality. And I was really messed up. And I went to the clinical professionals like you're supposed to. And that's what they tell you to go to the Western medical establishment. And all they really had for me was pills and talk therapy. And I just thought, you know, it's kind of like on Shark Tank when you hear like, you know, there must be a better way, right? Yeah. And that's kind of how I felt. I'm like, wait, I'm in my 20s. And I've always been high achiever in sports and I should be healthy and, you know, I'm apparently not, and I need a pill just to get out of bed every morning, you know? And then I went and I did some talk therapy and I just sat there and told someone in a collared shirt sitting across from me and in this dark room, everything I was going through. And, it just seemed like I was talking to a friend and I just said, you know, there's gotta be a better way. So then I went into kind of the more alternative modalities and, you know, I got into coaching. Not coaching yet myself, but getting hiring coaches and hiring people who had that, you know, really alternative approach to mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual health. And I just went on a journey and I started listening to guys like Tony Robbins. And he was one of the first people to make me understand that I hold the fucking keys.
Yeah. That guy,
you know, pushes. I hold the keys to my life. Like I actually don't have to be fat, sick, tired, weak, and broke. And there's more that I can do about it than just take a pill. In fact, a pill will most likely on the macro have, do a disservice to me.
So then
I'm the kind of guy that I just get obsessed with things. Like I have a very addictive personality. That's actually not even how I view addiction, but just for lack of a better term, I'm really prone to addiction. So I just got addicted to the good shit, man. I got addicted to like the cold therapy, the meditation, the breath work, the sauna, getting into the gym, getting in shape. I started to get addicted to success and achieving in business. And I took that too far, as I always do. And that's okay. Yeah, yeah. And I created a fucking monster, and then I learned how to manage it. And then I learned how to manage it, and I got to a place that I never thought I would get to. So then I started Mental Wealth, because I believe that, as young Pueblo says, he says, a hero is someone who heals their own wounds and then helps others do the same.
Yeah.
So I think everyone wants to be a hero. I'm not proclaiming that I'm a hero, but I want to, you know, I wanted to get on that mission. I wanted to get aligned with that mission. So then I started helping other people do it. Right. And, you know, as someone who didn't even graduate high school, that was pretty cool because I started to have a lot of success. I originally got into personal training, nutrition, and then it just evolved from there. I had two gyms that I opened up and did that for 5 years. That was successful conditionally, but not internally. And then I went online, man, and became a coach. I started helping people with their mental health. But then, and here's the key, and this is why I'm on this show.
Yeah.
Is because I put out a viral video one day that changed my life forever. It was on April 8th, 2021 at 7:30 Mountain Standard Time. I put out a 9-minute rant on COVID because I was fed up. And then I was just playing it safe. And I was just saying what I think people wanted a life coach to hear, or to hear from a life coach. And I just went on a rant, man. I didn't hold back. I was clearly frustrated. And dude, my life has never been the same. The video went viral and it got a lot of attention, like a lot of attention. And some crazy shit happened from that. I got so much pushback all the way up to like university professors levels, to mainstream media levels, to celebrity levels. It was pretty crazy. And then I'm like, oh, people like the fact that I have a counter narrative view on how to live a good life, how to be healthy mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Yeah. So I just, ever since then, I'm like, oh, fuck, cool. I can just actually be myself on social media. And that's what I did. And then that's why we rebranded to Awaken Winning. And what we really do is we help awake people win. What does awake mean? It means people who are awake to the lies that society sells us, the school system, media, corporations, mainstream. I already said mainstream media, the government, all that stuff. And ever since then, we help people who are awake win in life and business. So I'm not just a life coach, I'm also a business coach. And here we are, man. Things have been pretty good. And I'm in a place I never thought I would get to.
That's awesome, man. And the thing is, like, I'll tell you a little bit about myself as we go through this too, is like, I was also doing that throughout COVID. I got a lot of pushback. I became pretty viral with some of the stuff that I was talking about. And now I've been doing it on Instagram and I'm reaching way more people than I ever thought that I would. And people like, it's strange considering I was someone who grew up and I was listening to punk music very young and questioning the establishment. I didn't like school. I thought that they were trying to brainwash me. I listened to a lot of underground hip hop that kind of made me awake to what was going on in the world and the government and some of the stuff that was going on behind the scenes. And then so like I was struggling with my own stuff throughout my teenage years, but I read a lot. I was constantly researching all the time, and I was called crazy and all these like isms and stuff that just because I spoke out and said like, why are you trusting this just because you're told to, just because an authority figure is telling you to trust it, it doesn't make sense. So nothing made sense to me as I was growing up. I felt like an outcast. And obviously it led to more or less just like drinking a lot. Like I drank a lot. Like I'm still on my journey to become healthier. I started working out and doing all this stuff to try to kind of uplift myself and become stronger and better. But obviously with doing this podcast, like I do two podcasts, a horror podcast too. So it gets kind of, there's so much things going on that you got to push yourself. Right. And that's why listening to you, it kind of drives me to really want to do that stuff. And I was ridiculed for most of my life from people that wouldn't pick up a book and read a page out of a book. Like they would just go with whatever they were told and they would parrot whatever the media told them to. And I grew up with my mother being a nurse and also my grandmother. And then they were indoctrinated by the medical system. And I never trusted Big Pharma. When I was a kid, they tried to put me on Concerta and Zoloft. And I used to hear rappers talking about doing Zoloft to get high. And I'm like, I don't want to touch that stuff. So I would self-medicate my own ways, like smoking weed and drinking. And I started this show because like, I just wanted to sit around, have a couple beers and my buddies and talk about conspiracies and the paranormal and things that I've experienced in my life. Right. And I was going to and kind of bring this in later on, but one thing that actually changed my life, and I know that you haven't partaken yet, but magic mushroom, psilocybin, changed my life, man, forever. I did it a little bit with my wife, and I didn't do it till I was in my 20s, and I had friends that were doing it all throughout high school. I just thought that I was going to see some stuff that I didn't like want to be brought up yet, but it helped me heal trauma in my head that I had built up. I was in and out of jail in my youth, getting arrested for the dumbest shit. Like my mom would call the cops on me for having a joint when I was on probation from stealing a bike. The dumbest stuff, right? Just being a dumb teenager. So when mushrooms kind of came around at the right time, I started consistently taking them like every other week, specifically starting every month. And I started doing it more and more. Now I've kind of stepped back because it's done its job. But I still have it in my freezer all the time, still choose to do it because I've never had something help me in this way. I've been to therapists. I've been through hell and back in my life, and nothing ever helped fix what was going on in my head, but psilocybin did. So I kind of want to hear your thoughts and why you haven't tried it yet, kind of like dived into it.
Yeah, man. Look, I first off just want to acknowledge your story, man. I think your story is really cool. There's a lot of parallels to my story, and man, I don't know that there's anything that I love more than hearing someone who is very troubled in their earlier life be able to turn it all around, and just to see you here doing such a positive thing in this podcast and all the other things you do. I'm not just trying to blow smoke. Like I genuinely get giddy. I mean, that gets my jollies going when I see someone just turn it all around, because, you know, you were at this fork in the road and you easily could have went down the, I mean, you could have easily been in jail right now on the streets.
Yeah, whatever, I almost died.
Homeless.
Yeah,
I'm sure you almost died for sure. I believe it, man. I mean, it's a classic story that not everyone has. And you know, what's interesting is like, my story is not ever going to be in a Hollywood movie. You know, my story was like, I didn't almost kill myself. I wasn't in the drug game. I didn't, you know, go to jail. I didn't like, I don't have that story. I have what I actually think is probably the most common story, in that I conditionally had every fucking reason to be happy and get out of bed and be stoked. And I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it goes to show you that, you know, you don't have to. I mean, you look at all these celebrities that, you know, abuse substances or get addicted to things, and they have all the reasons to be happy. They have everything you could want. They live an abundant life. And so did I. I wasn't like, you know, super rich or anything. But, you know, for me, it was about recognizing that, you know, it actually has nothing to do with your external reality. It's all about within. And that's why I'm actually a really big proponent, oddly, because I've never actually partaken, but I'm a big proponent in plant medicine. But look, we have to understand the nuance of everyone's journey. And I don't think that plant medicine is right for me right now. And I have, you know, many reasons for that. I think that I understand to a certain extent. I know this is probably going to piss people off who've done plant medicine journeys to say that I understand to a certain degree. I don't fully understand because I've never experienced it. But I also believe that there are other ways to... I think plant medicine actually shows you essentially a few things. It shows you that the conditional world is actually not the determinant of your internal, you know, happiness and peace. It shows us that we're all connected in one way, shape, or form. It increases your ability to have compassion and empathy for everything.
Definitely does.
It allows you to see the ugly parts of you that need healing and love. And it allows you to see your ego and how we are so fucking attached to our ego, and almost every problem is rooted in our problem is rooted mostly often in an interpersonal relationship. But if you go deep enough, almost every problem we have is due to ego, and it allows you to really be able to see that. Now, would it be beneficial for me to do a plant medicine journey and see it through that lens and to use it as a tool to really allow me to see it very clearly? Yeah, I really do. And I actually even know the shamans, or the plant medicine facilitators, I should say, that are going to facilitate my first psilocybin journey. So it is no question on my list.
Yeah.
I'll leave it here. I think that I have actually a lot more growth to do outside of that, outside of a plant medicine journey. And I'm just really exploring that. And I have always heard people who facilitate plant medicine journeys, they say that the medicine finds you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you will know when you're ready. Mm-hmm. And it's hard, and I know I'm being vague right now. It's hard for me to even explain. It's just not the right time.
No, I understand. I totally understand.
Yeah, and I don't feel like you're like, you know, you know, pushing me or anything like that. I don't feel that at all. But it's a really good question. I just know I'm going to wake up one day and be like, okay, I'm ready.
It's powerful stuff. Like I'm telling you, it's very powerful. I didn't have any other options. Like it seemed like this is the only thing that actually legitimately helped me and break down these thoughts in my head that I had. And like, most people like think I'm crazy that I would like do psychedelics and watch horror movies in my backyard with my wife, and I would enjoy it and I'd feel free in myself and stuff like that. But I've also done like really heavy doses, 7 grams, which is like a lot for most people. And I went through this experience where I was thinking about my grandma and grandfather that have been dead, and my aunt and uncle that both died because of addiction issues. My aunt drank way too much. She's drinking like a 26er a day and developed a tumor. And then it was during COVID. We couldn't even go see her. And she was like going through hell and back, hallucinating because of the tumor and stuff like that. And when I was on the second, like when I was on psilocybin, I was just in my room and kind of trying to meditate, and I heard her voice saying that she was here. So like, it's extremely powerful stuff, and it can be bad for some people. If some people have not dealt with their demons, one of my best friends, he did it once and did way too much, and it ruined his experience because he couldn't even think properly. Because if you put up a wall, it will try to break it down, but if you keep putting up that wall, it will make you have technically a bad trip.
Yeah, like one thing I don't think we talk enough about, and look, I can only imagine as someone, not me, but as someone like yourself or the people listening who plant medicine has changed everything for them, I can only imagine how frustrating it is to hear someone like me be like, I'm not going to do it yet. I'm not going to, they're just like, just fucking do it. It's going to change your life. I get it. Like I really do. And that's why one day I will. But I think one thing we don't talk enough about is any powerful tool, and this is about as powerful of a tool as it gets, should not be taken lightly. No. And I think that's why I'm taking my time with it, because look, I do, I had an experience with drugs in the past where, it shook my sense of reality for a good 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it was really scary because I think I was this is obviously back in the day, in the dark days for me, but I truly didn't know where I fit in. And I was having a difficult time comprehending the quote unquote reality that we live in based on just doing too many drugs.
Yeah.
And it shook me. And I still think that's in me, and I'm still, I don't want to say I'm still recovering from it at all, because I really don't think I am, but I think that it's just really taught me a lesson to just not take it lightly. I also had a experience where, I'll just say this vaguely, but someone close to me had a plant medicine journey and was like in the mental hospital for like 2 years, man. Yeah. And I can still kind of see it in his eyes. You know, when I talked to him, this is years ago. So it's just, you're right. It's just not something to take lightly. And I just know that I'll know when it's time.
100%. And that's why it scared me when I was a teenager, is I saw my one friend, like he was lying on the couch and thought like 1,000 hands were like touching him and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, not for me. Like I'll just stick to like drinking alcohol and smoking weed and stuff like that. And then when I found it was perfect timing, and it did change my life and stuff like that. So I just wanted to bring it up because it was something that like, that fixed my mental health, that helped me learn about myself and helped me face the demons that I had buried in my head. And I feel like I don't really have any trauma anymore because I experienced it during trips. Like I had a rough childhood in some regard. And my mom had, I'm pretty honest on my show, but she had a miscarriage when I was about 8 years old. I don't think she realized how it affected me and how she transferred her trauma into her children. And then when I did psilocybin, I actually experienced her trauma during a trip, and it was like incredible. Right. So like, that's why I do advocate for this stuff, but you have to be prepared. You have to be in a good mood. You can't be in a bad mood. You can't be stressed. You can't be depressed. You can't have any of that, or it's going to make it worse. It's going to actually put you in like a psych ward.
Yeah. And I think that to just further expand, because I know that, I mean, it's hard to explain because it's more of a feeling, but I think that if I had to further expand and clarify it through words, I think for me, I'm on such a, like you said, it helped you. You actually said something I've heard a lot where you just didn't have a choice. It was like your dark night of the soul, and you're like, you need something fucking powerful. And for me, I feel like I've done so much work that I am on such a high, and I'm just on such of the upswing still.
Yeah.
And I think my time to step into the plant medicine realm, it will be when I face another big block. I'm not saying I go like way down dark night of the soul and I'm stressed and anxious, because that's probably not a great time to do it. But I think it's, and I will inevitably, I'm going to run into my next big block, and I'm going to be like, okay, my tools that have gotten me here aren't what are going to get me. There's a great quote. It's like, the same tools that get you out of Egypt are not necessarily the same tools that get you to the promised land.
Yeah.
And I think that that is when I will step into it, is when I'm like, oh, this is a block I just can't get through. But right now, I think my momentum is still so much on the upswing. I'm just loving my life.
Yeah, it's great.
The thought of taking a drug that actually potentially makes you go through some really hard shit. I know I need to do it. I don't think the timing is.
No, and right. it will come to you when you need it. And there's times where like you have to put it down. Like I was doing it like every other week, sometimes like every weekend. And my wife is like, sometimes I can't like live with you. It's like you're like on another level on like the weekend, stuff like that, where you're like thinking all these profound thoughts and I'm just sitting there with a glass of wine or whatever. but like we'll switch kind of gears essentially. So it's interesting. So I read a lot, right? One book that is actually a fairly interesting book is called The Law of One. It's a woman channeling the entity of Ra. It's an interesting concept, right? But the one thing that I really took from this book, it's a series. It's fascinating if it holds any validity, if it is true. But they always talk about the spiritual aspect of life, and to grow spiritually is to stop being service to self and actually have service to others. So I was wondering what lesson in your life kind of led you to want to serve others? Because essentially that's what you're doing. You're doing a service to others, not a service to self.
Yeah, I wish I could say the actual parable or the actual verbiage from the Bible, but there's a excerpt of the Bible that says that you don't help people when you're filling your cup. You help people with the overflow of your cup. And I think, you know, I'll be honest, man, this is something I talk about a lot about, is like, bro, when your life is in shambles, or you're a hot mess, or you feel like shit, or you're just not winning, you're not living your highest quality of life, you got to be selfish, man. Like I didn't try and look, I'm not suggesting that on the road or path to growth and healing that there's no room for helping others. In fact, some people may find that that actually is what gets them to the next level. But bro, I put my head down and I was selfish. I saw my family less. I saw my friends less. Now that can also be a big contributor to growth and healing. So, yeah, you know, it just depends. And community is massive. But in the beginning for me, and I think men are maybe, you know, more like this than women, it started with my body. So I had to just like get my shit. I had to get in the gym, you know. Andrew Tate, say what you want about him. You know, people love him, people hate him, whatever. But, he says something that I really like. He says, you know, that men reach out to him all the time and they're like, you know, I'm depressed, I'm anxious, I'm lost, I'm hopeless. And he goes, go out and find a way and do whatever you can to go get in the best shape of your life. Mm-hmm. And then come back to me and tell me you feel the same way. Right. And that's really what I went through, is I just looked in the mirror and I'm like, man, I'm not taking care of my body. So I just went and I just found a way, and I got obsessed with eating good, working out. And then all of a sudden I started to feel pretty good, right? Like a lot better. And I started to, be more open to, oh, I can do difficult things, and oh, I don't have to, you know, be lazy and you know, get in my own way all the time. So then it expanded into more of a spiritual, you know, journey, and I started to read more about that, and then I started to work on emotional regulation, and then I joined communities, and I started to get in community, and I just started to pile all these things up, and eventually. And I'll be honest, man, I didn't think about other people. I didn't think about helping other people. Yeah. It's not that I wouldn't have helped other people. I was a good person. I always have been, but it just wasn't the priority. And then I got to a point where my cup was filled. Mm-hmm. And then, bro, I just think there's something in human nature that when you're living your highest quality of life and your cup is filled and it starts to overflow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think the natural progression, I think it's instinctual, is like, hey, how do I help others do the same? And that's what I did. And that's what, to me, takes you to the next level is like, bro, like I am so, there's only really one thing in this world that I'm afraid of. And that's someone taking away my ability to do what I do, because I don't know what the fuck I would do, man. Like it would be, that would make me have a hard time getting out of bed. If I couldn't go out and help others do what I've gone through, it would be rough.
100%. It's just funny. There's a quote about like the biggest thing, the fear or whatever, is like yourself. Cause yourself is who's going to make you feel these ways, or like, you know, do make you do something stupid. It's like, you have to develop, a strong sense of who you are and stuff like that. And that's like, and that's why I agree. When I like, I'm a little overweight, I fucking drink too much. That's why I'm doing Dry January. Like I enjoy my drinks. I never let it get out of hand, but like doing the show that I do, we do very dark humor based comedy where we're talking about all sorts of messed up stuff and then try to make light of it, because like even the, you know, Jews in the concentration camps are trying to make jokes to kind of get them through their experience that they were having that was like horrible. Right. So like, I always try to use dark humor, even when we're talking about some of the darkest, you know, episodes about serial killers or whatever, to try to cope. And people have seemed to really enjoy that aspect of the show, is that we're kind of uncensored, unfiltered, and just tell you our raw thoughts about certain situations. And I kind of want to like direct it towards like, what do you think about the current state of the world? And what, if you have any solutions, like obviously there's most times people don't even understand is like, do not comply, stuff like that. It's just like, if enough people just don't follow along, with what these, I call them parasitic elites, but the parasites want to do to humankind to transfer us into some sort of dystopian nightmare future that they want with digital slavery. I kind of want to know your thoughts about what you think of the current state of the world. And even you kind of inspired me when I was worried about all this stuff happening in Canada to do with podcasting and trying to regulate podcasting, especially what I do. Like I also create music. I'm writing a song right now called Fuck Trudeau, and it's very in-depth about the liberal government and what's going on. And to kind of make you understand my political views, is I don't trust either side of the government. I would love for the conservatives to be telling the truth about everything, but I don't trust politicians by their words. I trust them by their actions. And even people like Pierre and stuff like that didn't really show that much support during the convoy and during the mandates and all that other stuff. And that kind of proved to me that I'm like, and he's a career politician. So I've always been someone since I was a young teenager that thought like voting doesn't matter. They're manipulating it. You're selected as an elite. They stage these things. The world is a stage. And I've always thought that way. And people, it blows people's minds when I call out Pierre and then they think I support Trudeau, but I don't support any side of the government because I think they all represent the same thing. Like it's the same boot marching in the same direction.
Yeah, man, I have so much to say about this. So here's where I'll start that, I really dislike a lot of the trends and the writing that I see on the wall that's happening, you know, right now. I think a lot of it is truly an existential risk. I think that it's kind of two things. So I would love to be pro-establishment, but in order to be pro-establishment, you have to have a trustworthy establishment, you know? So I fucking wish I was pro-establishment. I'm not anti-establishment just because I want to be, you know, I don't go against things just because I want to be a black sheep or maybe I should say a black lion.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just have seen way too much evidence that you know, trust is earned. And I just cannot, I'm like you, I just cannot trust these people. Look, I'm a supporter of Pierre to the extent of we got to vote for him. I won't go as far as to say that it doesn't matter whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also know what you're saying, and I agree with you in that it's, you know, at the end of the day, the show goes on. The show is a machine that runs, and regardless of who the puppet is, I mean, in large part, a lot of it's the same. I do think we would see some changes with Pierre, for sure. But, you know, I do agree with you. But here's the thing. So I'm anti-establishment at this point, and that's not just the government. That's also, you know, the Western medical establishment is playing a big role in this. The media, the mainstream media. And, you know, I'm also, not only am I anti-establishment, but I am anti-progression if progressiveness is this. If progressiveness is like, we got to fucking put our pronouns in our bio and we got to teach this shit to children and we got to allow, you know, men to compete in women's sports. If we have to parade and charade every chance we get about what someone's doing in the bedroom, if we have to ditch, you know, all religion in the world, like I could go on and use, you know, all of a sudden vaccine is the epitome of being healthy. Like if that's progressiveness, I'm just not here for it. I'm a very primal guy. I have traditional values. I believe that what's ancestrally consistent is what will serve not only us as individuals, but also society the most. So here's the problem is people, you know, you mentioned punk rock a while ago. You said you were such a fan of punk rock because they were always anti-establishment.
Not anymore.
What the fuck happened to
that? I know. Not anymore. Green Day, all of them. Rise Against the Machine.
Yeah, they're just so, here's the thing is it's flipped to the cool thing is to actually be pro-establishment, which is a problem because we can't trust the establishments. It's fucking clear. I don't know how anyone can see that. And then not only that, but we are, there's such a push to go away from what makes us human. Okay.
Yeah,
there's a push to, you know, no meat and let's eat bugs and like, you know, oh, being fat is healthy and like, oh, go get your vaccine and then you're considered healthy. Show me your card. You know, gender doesn't exist. Like we're denying biological science. All these things is an existential risk. But I will say this, as much as I hate it and I do complain about it, I scream about it. Here's the big part is I think it's necessary.
Yeah.
And the reason why it's necessary is because we're going through a breakdown right now. And it's scary because, I mean, a breakdown risks going to the extent of collapse. But how does a human grow? Like I just talked about the plant medicine.
Yeah.
Well, how am I going to go to the next level? I need to have a breakdown. I got to get worse to get better. In a plant medicine journey, guess what? It can be one of the most powerful things. I don't have to have done it to know that it can be one of the most powerful, expansive growth and healing experiences you can ever have. But is it always comfortable? No. In fact, in many cases, it's the opposite.
The first hour sucks.
Exactly. So look, on an individual basis, it's no different for our society. In order for us to look, our society is broken in so many ways. There's a reason why we can't trust the establishment. How do we get to a level where we can actually start to trust the establishment? We can have more peace. We can live together and we can get rid of these existential risks. It's no different than how we do it individually. We got to go through a breakdown. And I think right now we're seeing our breakdown.
Yeah.
And breakdowns lead to breakthroughs. So as much as I'm honestly, man, I'm equally as excited for 2024 as I am nervous because there's just something in the air with 2024. We're on the brink of World War III.
Yep.
We're on the brink of a civil, I don't know about all out war, but we're on the brink of, you know, division to a point where it could really hurt us. Fucking kids don't even know what gender they are. Like, we are in a rough spot. I'm nervous about 2024, but as nervous as I am, it's also exciting. Life is a beautiful struggle.
Yeah, 100%.
And I'm just here for the ride, I guess. And then again, lastly, I think this breakdown is just necessary to, sometimes when things feel like they're all falling apart, they're actually just separating so that we can put them back together in a better way.
Yeah. And I'm someone who, I really push for people to come together, and I speak a lot about like the division that they're causing, and they're using all these like psychological warfare techniques to, split people up. But I also preach a lot about revolution. Everyone thinks revolution comes from some communist bullshit. It doesn't. It comes from people rising up against the establishment. And the thing is, the way this is going and has been going throughout most of our history, where you have these elitist families, that I think it goes beyond our physical reality, and most people can't even grasp that. They can't even grasp the physical reality they live in. They don't even know what gender they are, as you said. Like they can't even grasp the basic things of what it is to be human and spiritual. And I think these people orchestrate things and have been doing it for a very long time, and that everything happens for a reason. I truly believe that that's part of our spiritual growth, why we're here on this planet, whatever it is, whatever this is, a simulation, whatever this thing is that we're existing in, we need to learn lessons. And I believe that everyone wants to know what's the meaning of life. I've always believed that is to learn as much as you can here so you can carry on to the next life, and then maybe one day you'll ascend to a higher level of existence. But the thing that is very clear is that there is a couple of people, like a room full of people, that are in charge of the entire world. That's how small it is. And I've read a lot into the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Habsburgs, all these families that have existed for a long time. And it is interesting that that's why I call for revolution, essentially, is for people to band together. If I was going to label myself anything, people don't understand anarchy, but I'm an anarchist. And if you actually research anarchy, it's a lot different than what people think it is. And also a libertarian, just because I am someone who believes in like let and live, like, you know, let and live, love, whatever. Just like let people do their own thing, as long as it's not hurting somebody else. But at the end of the day, all these people that are in power on either side have been bought and paid for a long time ago, and they're not, it's not going to sway their opinion. The people need to rise up. Everyone wants a savior. You know, Albert Pike, a famous Freemason, said that when they want a hero, we shall give them a hero. So this idea that I think that they're pushing people to hate Trudeau, which he's a horrible monster of a human being, a disgusting person, but they're pushing people to hate him so much. That's why he's pulling all the things that he's doing. So people are backed against the wall, and they'll take anybody they can, and then another puppet is installed. And that's why I'm worried about the direction of this country. And I've always preached to people that people need to take back their own power. That the power is in the people's hands, power to the people, because the only way this changes is if people change and come together.
It's so true, man. Look, I say this all the time. Collectively, we hold the leverage, but the key word there is collectively, yeah, right? So like it's really seemingly obvious to me that like the more we can fight amongst ourselves, it's just all a distraction. I mean, even the Epstein list. It's like,
I was going to ask you about that. That's funny. I had that on my like little knotted, jotted notes.
Yeah, we can talk about it, but you know, there's actually I would like to talk about it, but what I'll say about it, cause it's just a good example from what I was going to say, is like, I'm not actually posting about it, because if I was posting about it, it would just be me trying to, you know, hit a really hot button topic and some followers and shares, which I totally could do. But I'm not posting about it because, you know, if you really look at it, it might seem counterintuitive. Like, why would a judge say that they want the Epstein list to be released? You know, aren't the judges just puppets to the elites? And doesn't this hurt the elite? And it's like, yeah, but, you know, we know that, like, literally, we could find out that Bill Clinton genuinely had sex with a bunch of, you know, underage girls.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's confirmed yet or not, but I'm sure that information is probably coming out. He says he likes them younger or whatever said in the script. But the point is they know that it's not going to change anything. It really is not going to, right? Like, it doesn't matter what's in that document. There's not going to, I believe that nothing's going to happen, but what is going to happen is everyone's going to argue amongst themselves in the comment sections on Instagram and at the fucking dinner tables. And it's going to be a distraction, so that at the end of the day, because here's the thing, the internet does pose a risk to the elite and, you know, the people at the top who have the agenda to, you will own nothing and be happy. And, you know, all of that agenda is easier implemented if we're all just fighting amongst ourselves, because if the enemy is the person across the table from you, then it distracts you from seeing that the enemy is actually sitting in a room, like you said, and they're the puppet masters. And if we can all get on the same page and just say, no, this is not okay. Yeah. And actually protest against the right people.
Yeah.
And we can all get on the same page. We all have the leverage collectively and we can actually make change. But that's going to be the hard part is getting all on the same page.
That's what I said. I had a video go pretty viral. I said, like, I was like, imagine if we protested this hard and rallied this hard a couple of years ago. Like, and I understand, like, I actually have studied a lot into Israel and Palestine and Gaza and all that stuff. And I will say I personally don't like Netanyahu. He's a war criminal maniac. And a lot of this stuff is hidden from people. And then the conservatives get on the side of this side and the left gets on side of this side. And it's just like, it's more division. And now the children are just being mercilessly, like, murdered for no reason. Like during warfare, especially currently in where we sit today, 50-100 years ago, we didn't have the weapon systems we do today. Two children die a day essentially in any warfare in Ukraine, whatever, and it's going to be thousands at the end of this. But it's just another reason people are fighting to get all the time, just fighting each other instead of being like,
bro,
it's crazy, man.
Bro, sorry to interject.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm same thing with the Israel-Palestine thing. I mean, I'm looking at this as an opportunity to really, because I've also been educating myself on just how far back this goes and how much, there is to learn about that whole situation. It is not what you're seeing from the media, right? No. But, and it's not what you're fucking seeing on Instagram. But I made a post because people were like, oh, like everyone just wants you to pick a side.
I know, right? It's just crazy.
Like, are you team Israel or Palestine? And it's like, so what I did was I made a video and I'm like, hey, I appreciate all your guys's concern to really know what side I'm on. But if I just say what side I'm on, that's just going to either validate your current position and it's going to make you feel good. It's going to give you that dopamine hit, or it's going to go against what you're attaching so tightly to this bullshit picture in your head that you think you know everything. And then it's going to go against it. And then you're going to just yell at me in the comments. And then, you know, that's also going to arouse you because our stress hormones arouse us. So, I said, I ain't going to pick a side. I'm spending time educating myself right now on just the whole situation, but I'm team human. That's what I said. Yeah. I said, I'm not fucking team Netanyahu or team Israel. I don't hate Israel. I don't hate Palestine. I love people who are outside of the elite establishment, and I want less people to die. Yeah. How about that? How about we just get on fucking team human? And how about that? And look, I get it's a complicated situation because, you know, Israel got attacked and then, you know, they got to retaliate and all this, but it goes deeper than that.
It goes way deeper.
It goes way, way deeper than that. And, you know, we don't have to get into I'm team human, man. And
I'm the same way.
We can all get on the same
page.
People
lose their mind when they're like, they don't understand that I don't pick a side. And I was like, I don't pick sides in a war that is funded by the same people.
Yes. The amount of hate in the comments that I got just because I said I was team human and I didn't pick a side was outrageous.
It's crazy, man. I don't know why people have that mentality. I have the thing where, like, I see we are all one. Something else from that Law of One book, which is fascinating to me, is like when you hurt someone else, you hurt yourself because we are all connected. No matter how many people want to believe that or not, we are one consciousness. Whatever we like, this experience we share here, we're the universe experiencing itself, so to speak, right? So all these people fighting and hating each other is so funny because they'll come back to you. Everything you do has an equal and opposite reaction, especially on the spiritual level. And because we're on this physical plane of reality, it's going to take longer to come to you. It's the same way of manifestation. If you think about something, eventually, you know, you work hard at it, it will come towards you. You know, you put out there in the universe what you'll get back, kind of thing.
You know, you got to look at these wars, and you know, here's maybe another reason why we shouldn't be so quick to pick sides. And it's not that I don't have an opinion. Like if we look at like the Russia-Ukraine war, like, do I have the opinion that we should stop giving Zelensky fucking, you know, well, not we, the United States should stop, you know, giving all this money to when they have, you know, a bunch of problems on their home soil? Yeah. But again, it goes way deeper than that. You got to look at who's benefiting from these wars, right? Because humanity loses, and then there's a small group of people that benefit
they
from these
richer
wars,
and
right?
Richer, buying
yachts. Yeah, exactly. There is something called the military industrial complex, and there are people who are running the world essentially who benefit off of that. And it is a machine, and war funds that machine. Not only does it keep us divided, but it also makes a ton of money, and it gets people to maintain and gain power. So you got to look at who benefits from it. And 99.999 repeated percent of people on this planet don't benefit from any of these wars. And then there's a small percentage of people that do. You got to look who actually wins and benefits from these wars, because there are people. And then you got to just understand that, like, that's the team you got to get on is Team Human, rather than, oh, I'm for fucking Russia or Ukraine or Israel or Palestine.
Yeah, people, like, and if soldiers laid down their weapons and realized that, which I don't know if that day will ever come, it's pretty crazy, because even, like, people don't realize, too, during war, children go missing a lot, and people don't even understand or notice that, that they're, and it's also fueling something that is very dark around our world, which is the sex trafficking trade, which goes way deeper than anyone will imagine, and I think that there's a lot of key players and people that are prominent figures in our society that run our countries that are directly involved with this stuff, and I don't want to, we can, I'll let you finish your thought, and then we'll kind of maybe switch gears to end this on something kind of more fun.
I was just going to say, man, this is going to piss people off, and this is going to piss a lot of conservatives off as well too. But you mentioned something though, like, imagine, and I know people are going to say this is a pipe dream and, you know, Kaylor, this is unrealistic and all this stuff, but, you know, you look at history, you look at World War II, there were situations of this, but if the soldiers, again, going back to, we as the people hold the leverage.
Yep.
So just imagine if, because once you understand that there's a very small percentage of people in the world, very small, the elites, the establishment, the military industrial complex, they're the ones that benefit off the war, and humanity loses.
Yeah.
I don't care, even if your country wins the war, like you said, when you hurt people, you're actually hurting yourselves.
Yeah.
Yourself. But what if in a war like Russia, Ukraine, or Israel, Palestine, what if all the soldiers got on the same page, both sides, and just said, no, we ain't fucking doing this. Mm-hmm. We ain't doing this. And we demand that both of our governments go to the table and make some sort of negotiation and some sort of deal. And we want to have input on this, because look, you would, if collectively the people got together, you would actually, polls create policies, right? So whatever the public is essentially on the same page about, or at least the majority is, it does affect policy. It does affect the decisions that they make upstairs, because that's when they actually have to, because at the end of the day, if we all get together, as powerful as these fucking people are, we do have the ability to force them into a position where they have to make decisions that are in our best interest, because they don't have any power if it ain't for us.
And that's 100% true. And that's why I always push people to, like, stop being divided and realize that the power that you have together. And that's why I think people need to come together more. Like, everyone, I've went pretty viral doing some of my videos. Everyone always is like, wants solutions. And I'm like, a very simple solution is do not comply. And to me, I saw during, like, the mandate stuff and during COVID, I saw a lot of people just bow down and just do what authority figures told them to. And it scared me in the way that I'm like, whoa, there's way more people than I thought that just, like, we're like, okay, and then we'll just give up all their rights and freedoms for a flu. So, like, it's crazy to me that. And that's what proved to me. I'm like, especially in Canada, Canadians just laid down. I'm like, how are you so complacent, man? How can you just, and I've always hated authority, even teachers. Like, don't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. But, like, it is crazy to me, that people, you know, got to that thing. And I could talk about that stuff for another hour, but I want to kind of bring in something fun to kind of end this on. I have two questions for you, kind of definitely to do with my aspect of this show that I do. And it doesn't have to be one that is true or any of this stuff, but something that fascinates you or interests you. What is your favorite conspiracy theory? Like, that fascinated that you're like, it's weird, but, like, I don't know about it, but even it cannot even be true, or something that you think is fun or funny that people believe in.
Yeah, I would have to say There's three that are coming to mind. I'll just name them because people are going to be so. So flat Earth, aliens, and the moon landing.
The moon landing was definitely fake. It's like, it looks like paper mache.
Right, right. So, you know, but I would say more so of late. Look, I'll just speak to the flat Earth quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
If someone had a gun to my head and said, "Hey, is the Earth flat or round? You got to get the answer right, or I'm shooting you." I would go with the Earth is round. But here's what I'm not willing to do. I am not willing to speak in absolutes or believe something as an absolute just because that I can't prove. Mm-hmm. Because just because an authority told me. That's the case. So if you went up to 100 people on the street randomly and you said, "Hey, is the Earth round or flat?" 99 of them would say, "The Earth is round. What the fuck are you talking about? This is ridiculous." Right. Yeah. And then one guy would be like, "Oh yeah, you got to check out this." And you got to, so, but then you would ask them the second question, which would be, "Okay, prove it."
Mm. Both sides can, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I would agree with you on that one. So that's why for me, it's actually fascinating because they have some compelling arguments with the flat Earth stuff.
Yeah.
My sense is that it's not flat, but I do have to say that I just can't accept something if I can't actually prove it. And I genuinely can't prove that the world is round. And people are going to be going nuts listening right now and be like, "No, you can't, because the level of this and that."
I know.
If you shine a light across the, you know, and it's like, no, but that really doesn't prove it, because you can debunk all those things on both sides. So that's why I find that one fascinating. But the aliens, man, I'm really fascinated of this one of late. Because the government is starting to talk about it. And you know, our take on the establishment. So I'm like, okay, this is kind of fucked up. Why are they starting to talk about it? You know, maybe it contributes to what we were saying before, and that, you know, it's a distraction, which, you know, that would in the stereotypical or like textbook sense make sense. But, you know, I don't know. I think it's really interesting. I also think it's interesting because at the end of the day, we know there's other life out there.
There's no way that we're like, that's one of the most ignorant things to think, is that we're the only like life form out there that is intelligent like we are. It's like almost mathematically impossible.
But now people are agreed. Yeah. But now, and the concept of infinity is one of the most fascinating things to me that I think about. And it makes me feel like I'm on mushrooms when I'm even not. I just think about it and I'm like, holy fuck. But it has to, there has to be other life forms out there, but now I'm starting to get into, and I wish I would have gone more down the rabbit hole. I think I'm about to, because I'd have more to contribute to this, but now some people are talking about how they're maybe already amongst us. Maybe, you know, this, but they are in a maybe different form, something that goes beyond our comprehension of physics. And I just find that really interesting. I'm actually really interested to know your take on
that's
on
aliens. Cool. Cause like, it's fascinating to me. Just because this is stuff that you normally don't talk about in your show. So if you want to share this on your show, I would really appreciate, cause I think it's kind of cool to give your audience a different take of like some of your stuff. Cause even the flatter stuff, I keep joking on the show that it's compelling. And my co-host is like, "Shut the fuck up." Like, you know, like I'm like, "Well, look at this. It's kind of interesting." And I'll talk about stuff just for the sake of talking about it. We did a flat Earth episode and I ridiculed it. I made fun of it and we were joking around. And, I think that I'm more or less to believe that, like, I think the Earth could be hollow, technically, and stuff like that. There is cavern systems that we that could be hiding some sort of race of beings that have been here long before us or even helped create us. That's possible. But I also do think that we could live in some sort of simulation. I do think that they hide land from us. That's also possible. So there's always these all these key factors. The alien thing specifically, so since I was a kid, I've been staring up at the stars. You know, even when I used to smoke cigarettes, I'd look up the stars at night and I would see things. I've seen weird UFOs. On my last question for the show, I'll get into like a quickly one story that I have that'll probably interest you, but I've studied deeply like alien stuff. We've done a deep dive into the gray aliens, into the reptilians. We just did an episode about alien abduction. So then we can move forward, to talk about actual specific cases, which we've already kind of done. And then it's like, the scariest thing is that the government is doing this and actually abducting people and then using psychedelics or some sort of drug to induce these hallucinations locations where they think they see aliens. What I know though is we don't see all of reality. We see like 0.0 north, like it's like 10%, not even, I don't even think it's even that, but we're supposed to see 10% of like visual reality, that there's colors that we can't see. We don't see ultraviolets. We can't see gamma rays. We can't see the Wi-Fi in the air that connects all of our phones. Like there's all these things that we don't have eyesight for, but some animals do. Some animals can see stuff beyond what our eyesight is. So I truly believe that there is beings here that may be orchestrating a lot of the things that are happening on this planet. There's the theory that reincarnation is slavery, and that we keep going back into the same cycle, and that some of these entities are using us as like a similar, like a food source, much like kind of like the Matrix movie, as everyone always points to. But like, I do think it is quite possible. And the idea that they're walking among us is that the human brain is very malleable and we're easy to manipulate. It's quite clear that the government can easily do that to a lot of people that are the NPCs, as people call them, that walk around in this like state of, like they're like just singing a video game, you know? So, and the idea is that they know us very well, and they have the ability to manipulate us. So they actually cast images into our mind. So there's an interview. It's interesting. Who knows if it's true? Where supposedly this man sits down with a female reptilian. Okay. And it was transcribed in like the '90s. And now it's like, I listened to it when I was a kid. It has like a computer voice. I actually listened to it like three times. It's like 2 hours long. And it's fascinating because they give you a lot of information that is interesting, that like, is kind of, if it's a story, if it's made up, it's really well done. But she says that like to the average person, I look like a beautiful brown haired lady. And then she was like, in a bigger room of more people, it's easier to do. The less people there is in the room, the harder it gets to manipulate people's, subconscious and their vibrations and stuff like that. So I think that it's quite possible that there's things already existing here that are puppeting and orchestrating, the world. And somehow we're supposed to have karmatic agreements that races, supposedly, that's why I say supposedly on my show, because yeah, I don't know. I question everything, right? So that I've done these agreements to more or less say that you can't involve yourself in a race or like human beings or beings in general, spiritual beings that are going through evolution. But somehow these evil entities, because a lot of people call them reptilians and stuff like that. I've read a lot of books about this stuff, and I just call them dark entities, things that exist beyond our eyesight and stuff like that. And it's kind of interesting that they could be manipulating us in a way where it doesn't directly affect the karmatic rules of the universe. And that's why I always say this to people. Why do you have a bunch of old men, right, that are like at the end of their life, that want to bring about all this dystopian nightmare future, and control of AI, and people like Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, all these people that are like on their deathbeds kind of thing. Like they're not, they have a couple, maybe 15, 20 years left in their life. And I, part of me truly believes that it's because they exist beyond this physical reality, and they know that they can, like the Egyptians did, they claim that they had sex within the family to keep the money within the family. But people think it's because it's connected to a bloodline where you can just reincarnate back into this bloodline, and then you're here for eons controlling and manipulating the world and then using us as a food source.
Holy fuck, dude. So you've gone down some rabbit hole.
I read a lot of books, man.
Look, man, I love it. I find it fascinating. What do you think of the Tucker Carlson? Have you heard what Tucker has been saying?
He's talking about the Nephilim. It's funny because like, I actually really like him. I never liked Fox News. Dude, he says some real shit, man. And he says it in a way that's like...
I couldn't agree with you more, man. It's his delivery. I find him to be very objective, but also a great personality. He's got a great laugh, you know, he'll fucking talk to everyone. But I just think he's a good dude too, right?
Like, his energy, his vibe seems that way. I don't know. Something about him.
But yeah, Tucker Carlson doubles down. His knowledge of aliens suggests the U.S. government may have entered into some sort of agreement with them. The comments from Tucker come days after he said that what he has learned about aliens is so dark he won't even tell his wife. They're not aliens. They've always been here. I do think it's spiritual. That's my view. Again, it's not provable, but based on the evidence. If the U.S. government has in fact had contact with these beings and has entered into some sort of agreement with them, it's a very, very heavy thing. Tucker previously said that the things he has learned regarding aliens are so dark that he won't tell his wife. There are parts of the story that I do not understand at all that are really, 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 really dark. It's so dark that, oh geez, it keeps telling that he hasn't told his wife. But last thing here, parts of the government don't want you to know about it, but part of it is the public can't deal with it. It's too far out. The implications are too profound. Like, bro, look, if you would have told me years ago that I would believe it, or I would be this open to that. Yeah, and it's funny, 'cause I'm about to start reading the Bible. That was one of my big things for this year. Yeah. I'm starting to be more open to reading about, Christianity and just being open to religion. But, at the same time, something that Christians and people who are religious really don't like, I also am equally like, you know what? I almost think like, how can you not be extremely open to the fact that, you know, this just could all just be a simulation. And, you know, the other conspiracy theory that I'm really interested in is like lost civilizations, like the Younger Dryas theory that Joe Rogan talks so much about, and how, you know, there could have been very advanced civilizations. I mean, you just got to look at the pyramids. I mean, something happened there, right? And we could have had very advanced civilizations and had catastrophes and then started all over, right? So it's, man, yeah, I'll just leave it there.
It's fascinating. So I've looked into a lot of this stuff very deeply. I've never been religious because I think religion was created to divide and conquer the population. That's just my opinion. I have Christian friends that literally come on the show. One of my buddy Brett's he's Christian, but he just kind of believes in like the Ten Commandments and what you should kind of go about. And I question him on the existence of Jesus and if he was based on Horus or Mithra and all these other people and entities that have existed throughout our society and stuff like that. And I always like tell people like I question everything. That's my beliefs, is to question everything. But I also do think it is quite possible that some sort of spiritual being, an omnipotent being, thought reality into creation. That's why I'm interested by the book, The Law of One, because I've read the first part, and then I listened to a book on this guy, David Wilcock, that's been on Ancient Aliens, that some people think he's kind of crazy, but he makes some good points and he's very positive. But the thing is, I've been listening to David Icke. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but since I was like 16, and he has proven a lot of what he says, other than the reptilian stuff and some of the stuff that goes on with the bloodlines, but he's actually traced certain bloodlines and connections to people. But he is someone who's always preached love. Everyone's like, he's a disinformation agent, like Alex Jones or any of these other people that they claim or this or that. But to me, I've listened to him for a very long time. I'm reading his book, The Children of the Matrix, right now. And I just find it fascinating because there's all these things that we can't explain. Children go missing like at an exponential, like it's crazy. Like I did a video where I was like, you know, all this, all these children that are dying in Gaza, it's horrible, and stuff like that. And people are protesting against it, which I understand. But I said like that nobody protests against the children going missing in your major cities and all this stuff. So there's the connection that I think Tucker Carlson is talking about, is that this goes far beyond what people can even comprehend. It will break the minds of billions of people, that even supposedly even religious people, they'll never be able to grasp the information that is coming out. And the fact that I do believe that they're using children for adrenochrome. People can think that's crazy. I do think that there is energy with inside of a blood of someone who has been scared almost to death, and that they use that in some sort of regard. And I know that's stuff that you don't normally talk about in your show, but I think it's worth mentioning that all these children go missing all the time. And I don't know if it's just for sex trafficking, because it seems very weird, and considering there is underground tunnels that match up to where people have gone missing, all sorts of things that connect to the same thing. Like there's like in the 90s, I was thinking it was like 80,000 children went missing in the States like a year. It was like incredibly like a huge number. And then so the idea is that they need pubescent energy, and it's like a food source essentially to these beings. And that is the scariest thing for most people to understand, that they're using the energy of children to consume it. Just as we consume animals to survive, these things have to consume low vibration energy.
Well, look, I'll say this. First off, I want to touch on the religion thing. Yeah. So, I am actually not interested at this point. I think I will get to the point of being interested in really looking at whether or not Jesus or God was objectively a real thing, really existed. What I'm more interested in is, the almost the Jordan Peterson idea, where he actually would say, you know, I'm not as interested in that either. And he also says, if we were asking that question, we're kind of missing the point, because it goes a lot deeper than that. And I'm not going to object or push back to your, that religion was created in that way to divide it. Maybe it was. Mm-hmm. I think I'm really interested in his kind of theory that, life is better when you live as though this was a real thing. Because if you really look at the Bible, to me, it was like the first, it's like the OG personal growth book, right? And yeah, look, yeah. That's coming from someone who hasn't actually read the entire thing. So I'm going to read the entire thing, and it just, I'm going in with an open mind. And I just want to clarify that, because I have a lot of people in my circle as well too, who are very religious. And then I have people who aren't, and, you know, I'm just exploring. But now, to go back to what you said about, man, all the things, look, I think it's crazy. Yeah. Many people that are listening to, especially what you just said, would be like, you know, you guys are on crack. Like, what the fuck are you guys even talking about? And here's the thing. I think it's even more crazy to think that, I mean, we don't even know why we're here. We don't even know what is out there, right? We have no idea what's going on. We don't know what dark matter is. We don't even know what the fuck happens in black holes. We don't know we don't even know truly what's in inside the earth all the way down. Like, you know, we hear what's inside the earth. We hear what's out in space. We hear, but that's just our media telling us that. And oh, it's because the scientists said that. Okay. Well, like, who are the scientists? Here's the thing. I think it's crazy to not at least be open to, no, not even be open. It's crazy to not come to the realization that there has to be some wild shit going on that we have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, what is truly going on. And I'm not even saying that some of what you're saying isn't true. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But man, there's some wild shit going on, and it's because we're operating off our really minimal idea of what reality really is. And I agree with you. It's like reality is so much more than this, and I just don't think we know what it is. So I am so open to, if you ask me what my favorite conspiracy is, it's just like, I would say actually it's just, what the fuck is actually happening here?
Yeah. And
that's my favorite.
And the conspiracy thing is too, I've said it like all the time on my show. I don't know what to believe. I think that even like religion, right? The moral and ethics of religion is good. But I've also like, I want to dive deep into the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Sumerian texts, where we get all of this information supposedly from in the first place. So people should more or less be reading that type of aspect thing. But when I was a kid, I read the Quran. I tried to go through the Bible. Both were very boring. But I've tried to like educate myself on religion and stuff like that. But like at the end of the day, I say on my show all the time, I don't know what to believe. I'm just here to experience this and try to be the best version of myself that I can be. And to kind of end this on, I was just curious. Okay. So I've had paranormal experiences a lot in my life. Okay. I've used a Ouija board since I was like 10, 11. My grandma gave me a Ouija board, and then all my friends were using it. And then I saw my friend's arm get scratched. We saw like lights flicker, stuff like that. When I was 19, I had everyone on the show knows this, cause I've say it all the time. I go on other shows and they always ask me like, what was a crazy experience that I had? And I saw shadow people, and I had sleep paralysis, and it felt like they were ripping my soul out of my body. And I was sober. I'll never be able to explain it to someone that's never had an experience like that. But I felt like I was frozen solid. I couldn't, all I could do is move my eyes, and I had to rip myself out of this. My girlfriend, now wife, was laying next to me at the time, had no idea what I was going through. And then essentially I saw these shadow people walk towards my door, completely awake, and saw this like 8 foot tall shadow creature look down at me. And then I went into the washroom. I stared at myself in the mirror, and I'm like, what's going on with me? And there's like more to that story. But essentially I saw weird things I can never explain. I couldn't sleep until the next morning. And that experience to me proved that there's things outside of our eyesight and things around us all the time that we just can't see. And I want to know if you had any experiences in that at all.
No.
Really?
Like,
no hauntings?
Zero. Like literally zero.
Really?
Yeah. I've been on this earth for almost 35 years, and I have never experienced one like, honestly, not even, and I've talked about this on our Hot Topic series that I do on the show, like not even one unexplainable experience. Now, I will say this, that doesn't mean that I'm not open to it. That doesn't mean that when I hear stories like this, that I think you're crazy or anything like that. And again, I'll just bring it back to, there has to be something going on. And I know a lot of people will say, and I don't know how I feel about this, because I think a part of me believes, well, yeah, maybe you're right. But then there's a part of me that's like, well, yeah, that's just like, it's exactly what someone who really believes in this stuff would say, because people will say, oh, well, like, you're not open to it, right? That's why you're not seeing it, is because you're not open to it. And it's like, I want to see some crazy shit. Trust me.
I went looking for it. It sounds like you didn't, where I specifically went looking for it. And then it showed itself to me and I was like, all right, I'm never touching my Ouija board again.
Yeah. Look, maybe I should do that. But I will say one thing that has happened to me somewhat recently is, because I'm like you, I like to question everything. I like to explore. That's why I'm reading the Bible. That's why I'll fucking read anything. I'll read, I should read a book on, you know, transgender ideology. Like I just, you know, and
I don't know
and,
if I can do that book.
Yeah, well, I know, but like, it's also interesting to see it from their side and try and understand why the fuck these people are saying these things. But you know, my point is I am open to it all. And I actually, I booked an appointment with a psychic, an intuitive psychic and a medium.
That's fun. My wife's mom has went to psychics and like wrote down stuff that like they shouldn't know at all. And then we'll look back at it years later. And then all this stuff kind of like came to fruition. It's crazy. And I've talked to numerous people. I have not done it yet personally myself. My wife has, but I've talked to a lot of people that really believe what they saw. My co-host Billy does not, he thinks they're charlatans. And I'm like, we're going to bring you to one. You're going to be crying your eyes out when they tell you things.
Yeah, man, like that, you shouldn't know. That's look, I went in with an open mind, but I was not of the perspective that like, you know, oh, these, you know, I'm just like, oh, how can this be? It almost seemed ridiculous. I was almost, I felt ridiculous going to this. It was on Zoom.
Yeah.
But bro, I've had three sessions and I'll tell you what, it's really hard to debunk how she came to some of these things that she told me. You know, I'll tell you a quick story about what she said. Okay. So my grandma, I was really close to my grandma, but she died really early on. I think I was like 9 years old, but I really remember growing up with her and she was a big influence on my life. And I've always wanted to go to a medium because I'm like, hey, maybe they will put me in touch with my grandma and maybe she'll, you know, and, there was a moment in the session where she just said, okay, something's coming through. And then, by the way, this is like one small part of like a lot of things she nailed, but she goes, what is this? You dropped something in the kitchen. What is, she keeps saying, your grandma keeps saying you dropped something in the kitchen. What is this all about? And I just got chills over my entire body because there was a situation where I dropped something in the kitchen. And you know, that's not really something, if they're just making this shit up or they're just really good at reading people, there is no chance in hell she would ever know. I've never told this story on the internet. I've never told this story to fucking anyone.
Yeah.
And what happened was, you know, my dad, which is, his mom, this is the grandma I'm talking about. So she knows my dad very well, obviously. My dad's, you know, I have a complicated relationship with my dad. He's been very hard on me and all these things. He doesn't express too much emotion and all this stuff. It goes way back. But I was at his place once and he's got a really nice place and he's very particular about his place. And I'm still to this day afraid of my dad, you know, like still to this day, I still have some trauma from, you know, she's very hard on us. Anyways, I'm in his kitchen and I dropped a pan lid on the floor and it chipped his, and this was, by the way, about 2 years before I had the session.
Yeah.
It chipped a good chunk out of his hardwood floor in his kitchen. And again, my dad's very particular. So like when I go over to his place and I use it, you know, when he's out of town, I am like very diligent about it. It's got to be spickety span, super clean, all this stuff. So I dropped the pan lid and it got chipped. And I was really, it sounds so silly saying it out loud, but I wouldn't say I was like shaking in my boots, but I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to do. And it was weighing heavy on me. So I did actually tell one person, I texted my mom and I said, Mom, like, what do I do? I took a photo of it. I'm like, how can you? And she was like, go to Home Depot and you can find the pen that colors it. And anyways, it really, like, it was a kind of a significant thing that I'll never forget that happened. And then I had to tell him and all this stuff. But anyways, here's the thing. She even said, and there's something about eggs, you know, like I'm seeing eggs. I was cooking eggs. Right. So she thought the medium, because they get it in some different language that they can't translate. This is what they say. But she was seeing eggs. So she thought I dropped an egg in the kitchen, but I was actually cooking eggs. I drop the pan on the floor. And she goes, your grandma wants you to know. I didn't even really tell her the story. She goes, I don't know what you dropped in the kitchen, but I'm seeing eggs. But all she's saying is she wants you to know that it has to do with your dad. And she just wants you to know that you got to stop overthinking when it comes to your dad. Your dad is proud of you. Yeah. Your dad loves you, even though he might not, you know, say it all
express
the time. Express it. And what I interpret that to be is she saw how much I was stressing over chipping his wood floor when I dropped that thing in the kitchen. And she just wanted to tell me that. And she said, you know, your grandma was there with you throughout that whole situation. And what's funny, and it still gives me chills just saying it. What's funny is
giving me chills.
She would have absolutely been the person that I reached out to be like, grandma, what do I do? Like, blah, blah. And you know, she said that she was there with me throughout the whole experience. And why I tell that specific story, by the way, there was like 20 other things she got bang on, but it's like, that is such an obscure thing. I just can't explain how someone would be able to fake that.
We went to an alien convention a couple of years ago. And the first year we went, I talked to this guy that was a hypnotherapist. He tried to hypnotize me. I was stoned and I couldn't do it. I just got really relaxed. And then so we went, then a year after, whatever, it was slow, it was on a Sunday, and I met his son. His son is like a psychic and stuff like that, or like had an empath that is intuitive. And he says, I can't remember what he said about my wife, but it was like he couldn't have known it. But what he said to me is like, you ever get like you get these feelings on the back of your head, like somebody is like touching you. And my wife's like, he gets all the time where I tell her, I'm like, it feels like someone's touching the back of my head. And it's like this weird, like almost like that when they do the egg thing over people's heads. And then there's something else in you, but that always stuck with me. Cause like it's something that's kind of open and you could say that to anybody, but I always get that. And my wife even was like, that's weird. And then he told me that's one of my spiritual, guides. And he was like, it's a monkey. And I was like, why is it a monkey? He's like, it fits your personality. And then I was thinking a monkey on my back. Cause I used to like be addicted to drugs and stuff like that. Nothing too crazy, but it did affect my life in a very negative way. So I always thought that was weird. And like, I would love to actually go to one. Like this guy just did it free, just staying there talking to us. But there were specific things that me and my wife both left being like, huh, that's weird. How would he have known that? Even just questioning it, it was just like that. It wasn't like he was like kind of dancing around the subject. He just openly said these things. Right. And it's fascinating.
Wow. Yeah. And it is fascinating. And it's like, as crazy as that sounded to me, like, honestly, like I, as much as I would have said before that, like, no, this is just, it sounds ridiculous. It does, but I was open to it. I went and I wanted her to prove me wrong, although I was deeply skeptical. Yeah, and I feel like she's 80%, you know, been able to show me that, hey, maybe there is some validity to this stuff. And it's incredibly liberating because, you know, I do fear what happens when we die. Everybody, you know, because does. Yeah, I mean,
mushrooms might take that away though.
Yeah, exactly. That's another reason to do plant medicine for sure. Yeah. Right. But like, for me, I just, you know, I do. And for me, it's like, if I do know through mediumship, if I do know that there is something after, you know, that definitely gives me peace.
It's curious. So like, my wife went to a psychic, I'll tell you this short little story. And then, she showed, the psychic, picture of me. And this was like years and years and years ago. And then she said, everybody stood up. So essentially a lot of psychics claim and that the same thing that there's like a row of people and they want to speak, to whoever is there kind of thing. People that are connected to you, spiritual guides. And they said they all stood up and they said there will be a great deal of like anger and stuff like that in the future. And this is when we were in our early 20s. And I'm very honest on the show, was using like coke once in a while and it made me angry and gave me like psychosis and shit. And it made me like a different person that she didn't recognize. So it's kind of interesting to see that they picked that up. And they said other things that were like alluding to like my anger issues and stuff like that I've now fixed thanks to mushrooms and stuff like that. But it's just interesting because they seem to pick up on things. And I'm like, it fascinates me because like just trying to picture like all those people that you may not even know that might just be a spiritual guide that has been there for your entire life. I've read stories about a woman who was lonely her entire life and never really had any friends or much family. And she went to a psychic and the psychic said, this is part of your learning lesson. And everybody is waiting for you on the other side. And they're cheering you on because you have to experience life this way to learn a lesson.
Wow. Yeah, man, I'm open to it. And, it's pretty cool to explore all of these things.
Because, that's why like I question everything.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think we have any idea what's really going on, and I'm here to explore it and find ultimately the truth, because there is a truth out there. Something is going on
somewhere out there. Yeah. I really appreciate you coming on, man. Like it's pretty cool. My wife's been a big fan of yours for a long time, so it's kind of cool to be able to do some of this stuff with my show. I don't know if you know who Jeremy McKenzie is, but I have him coming up, and I don't normally do interviews and stuff like that. I'll talk to people that I actually want to talk to. And a lot of my podcast buddy, they all do the same thing where they all interview all these bunch of these different people and stuff like that. And I think what you're doing is a lot more beneficial. They're just all like tooting each other's conspiracy horns, in my opinion, sometimes. So I always want to bring on people that I actually like want to actually have a conversation with. And I'm sure you do that on your show. You have like some amazing guests, especially some of the people with the psychedelics. I've loved to listen to those and your take on it and stuff. And I really do appreciate you coming on. I want you to shout out everything that you want to and stuff like that. Let the people know where to find you and all that fun jazz.
Yeah, man. First off, thanks for having me. And this has been really fun because it's funny. We have a team meeting at the beginning of every week. And the people on my team that scheduled this, they always give me a rundown of what's going on. And they were like, I don't know, just they kind of give you a rundown of your show. And I was like, oh, I'm excited for that because, I'm usually just saying the same shit, over and over. And by the way, I love it. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, maybe this will be more like Joe Rogan style. And I love it. And so I really enjoyed myself. Thank you for asking different questions. And this has been great. We'll definitely post this on the Awaken Winning
show. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, no, I think our audience will love it. Awaken Winning, the Awaken Winning podcast.
It's great, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. And then on Instagram, the Kaler Betts. That's where I just post all my shit. I could, promote our courses and our programs and everything. We have amazing transformational journeys that we take people on. But, if you follow the Instagram and the podcast, you'll hear about those really quickly. So I appreciate if you want to go out and check those out.
Yeah. Check out Kaler Betts, man. You are the shit. You are like one of those people that I kind of like. I'm 32. So I'm actually curious. I don't think I know.
I'll be 35 in February.
Oh, wow. So we're not that far apart and stuff like that. And you kind of motivate me. Like I want to like get strong and built. And it's funny, even every time after I do my psychedelic trips, I'm always like, I want to become a monster. Like that's the idea, is like, I want to be this fit person. My brother struggles with a lot of stuff and he's older than me. I want to be that inspiration even for him in a lot of ways, right? To like, I want to be an inspiration for all the people around me because people have seen the change in me recently. And I don't think a lot of them know why, but everyone needs to kind of come together. And I truly believe that's a big thing of love. Love is going to get us through all this stuff. And I really do believe that. I do a lot of the videos I've done in angry ways, because it drums up attention and people are like, okay, like I've always thought first you have to get angry and then we can figure out what the hell to do. But realistically, we need to learn to love each other better. And, I think you promote that a lot on your show. And I do really appreciate you coming on. And this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks, bro. I'm trying, and you know, good luck with that. It's, you know, everyone's on a different journey, and
yeah,
we all got new things. I'm trying to unlock levels that I haven't stepped into as well. So, yeah, man, that's awesome.
All right, everybody, stay strange out there.
Menards is your electrical headquarters. We carry all the tools and testers you need for any electrical job. Stack up your toolbox with Southwire electrical products today. Right now, save big money on Southwire electrical tools, testers, cable ties, wire, and cable. Shop our huge selection in store at Menards. Ranked number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save big money at
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.